Or do we have anything else to announce?
Did we get a guest this time around?
We did. We have a lurker back there. Yeah. It's Tommy G, the host of the Spin Tunes and sometimes Song Fight and sometimes Nerein listening parties, also known as, I believe, half of Bafo Yucks Dudes.
It's confusing. Hi, Ryan. Hi, Chumpy. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Tommy. Great to have you on.
It depends on who you talk to, as how many people are in Bafo Yucks Dudes. So.
Okay. All right. Well, let me let people know where to find Bafo Yucks Dudes stuff.
Great name.
Yeah, exactly. Yucks, of course, spelled Y-U-X. So Bafo, why don't I start at the beginning? Bafo Yucks Dudes, B-O-F-F-O. Y-U-X, and then Dudes, D-U-D-E-S. So you can find them at Bafo Yucks Dudes, all one word, at bandcamp.com. You can also find them at facebook.com. That's F-A-C-E-B-O-O-K.com. They have a Tumblr page. They're on SoundCloud. They are the only Bafo Yucks Dudes on those platforms. If you just go on and search for them, you'll find them. You can check out well over 500 videos, actually well over 900 videos at YouTube under the Bafo Yucks Dudes account. With content, man. Just tons and tons and tons of wonderful stuff there. You can also check out their Songfight archive at songfight.org, where they have one song listed. And their Nerein archive at Songlander, where they have more than one song listed. Did I miss anything?
Oh, I'm sure you did. But
okay, all right.
I think that's you've overwhelmed people anyway with the over of the Bafo Yucks Dudes, I guess. Which I've always laughed that we came up with that probably before anybody listening was alive. We actually the name came up in like 1987. And then we're on Demento in 87 and 88 with it, so we were stuck with it. So it's okay when you're young to do that, but when I can get an AARP card, that's not quite as descriptive.
Okay, so you can't just name drop like that without explicating a little bit. So you had some interaction with Dr. Demento.
I used to work as an overnight DJ up in New Hampshire. And when I first got the gig in 85... I used to do the Sunday Night Six-Pack, which was like all the Westwood One radio stuff, and they would do syndicated radio, and one of the shows was Dr. Demento, and I loved that show, and I said, I really want to get material on there. So I was working morning shows, and one of the side gigs, we did syndicated radio bits. So in addition to all the stuff you hear now, if you were listening to terrestrial radio sometime in the late 80s, early 90s, you heard us constantly. Because we were the other side of the interactive bits. So anybody doing Elvis Presley in a traffic chopper, that was us.
Oh, wow.
Anybody talking to Alfred Hitchcock, that was us.
Oh, my gosh.
So we would write funny scripts, leave a hole for the DJ, and they would go out every 2 weeks on six or seven different services. So we did hundreds, thousands of bits. In addition to our live stuff that we did up at the New Hampshire station that we hosted. So some of those bits, I sent a reel to Dr. Demento. He said, I love this. So like three or four of the skits we did and songs and whatever made it up on Dr. Demento in the 80s. And then he replayed it something like 25 years later. He played a couple of them. But I haven't sent anything new since. I keep meaning to and haven't sent Barry anything. So I feel bad. But it's fun. That's what a certain segment remember us as. And then we stopped doing comedy for a long time, and I went to do a real job so I could pay mortgages and stuff. And then about 10 years ago, I happened to come across Masters of Song Fu. Somebody had followed me once this new Twitter thing came out and said, hey, I'm doing this thing. You should try doing this. I said, all right, who's in it? It's like, oh, well, Jonathan Colton's doing this, and Neil Innes. Neil Innes? Holy crap. Hold on. I want to see what's going on with this. And they had this thing called Masters of Song Fu, which was the masters, which are the internet music celebrities, and then they allowed 20, whoever schmo was on the internet could come in and do a song to the same challenge that the masters were doing. And there was like three rounds, and then ultimately it was going to be mano a mano against one of the masters that won.
Wow.
And they ended up doing six of them, and that's actually the granddaddy of Spin Tunes. That's how Spin Tunes started, because Masters of Song Fu kind of fell apart towards the end because the masters, I mean, they weren't getting paid. They were just doing it for fun. and they didn't have the time, so they all kept bowing out. So we were kind of like fighting among ourselves, and they never did it again.
Wow.
So after about 6 months, 9 months, the 20 or 30 people that had been doing it for like the six contests said, we don't need them to do a contest. So Heather and Travis, and that's why everybody says it's Heather's fault. It's because Heather cajoled Travis into actually organizing this thing. And the first one we did, I forget how many. I mean, after the first couple of contests, we're getting like 60 people in at one time. It's just nutty how many songs we're getting in at once. But it mellowed out a little bit after a while because we realized it just got way too huge.
Huh. Is that Heather? That's not Heather Miller you're talking about, is it?
No, it is. Oh, my goodness. Like Glenn's, there's a ton of Heathers. I'm trying to remember.
Okay. It's not Heather Zink.
Heather Zink. Zink is the one that we should all blame for spending.
Okay.
It is her blame. And she proudly wears that mantle. Heather Miller was also someone who did early spin tunes and actually is one of the shadows for this round.
Yeah, she's the last song on the list.
I'm excited. I'm on her Patreon. I would say go over that, patreon.com for Heather Miller. And she's been doing like a song a week for a long time. She's up to like 100, 150 songs by now. And she also put out a release and a few other things. So she's a very nice person to follow along if you're interested in songs. And you got a freebie out of the deal with a shadow that happened in this one.
Cool.
Great. Wow. Well, that seems like a pretty good segue. Or do we want to? Well, no, actually, let's cover some more stuff.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Joko cruise. Okay. I saw some video footage of you hosting a panel discussion on there. And I know that you go on the boards and talk about the Joko cruises when they're coming up. And every time I check them out, they're sold out anyway. So, but yeah, why don't you mention the kind of stuff that you do on those?
Oh, the Joko cruise, for a lot of people, it's like nerd nirvana. I'll put it that way. It's internet musicians, board game folks, comedians. It's a whole intersection of all these different folks that enjoy entertainment, are kind of internet famous or rock and roll famous. I mean, Amy Mann's on it. Will Wheaton's been on it for all these years. And it's turned into a fun community where not only is there stuff that's going on like on stage for like shows, but the people that are actually on vacation have the opportunity to do whatever they want and can say, you know, in advance they do shadow shows. So Ryan Gray and Zoe Gray for 3-4 years in a row literally just said, hey, we want to book a room. They booked the room and did a concert, and they had a full 45-minute, 50-minute set.
Wow, like a stage or?
Full stage.
Wow.
And the beauty is you can just be an audience person or you can be a participant and set stuff up. So when I found that out, you just in advance say, I would like a room. I think there's going to be 70 people show up. And there's a wizard named Bob that takes all the requests, puts them in a hat, rearranges them so that everybody's schedule fits. So let's say you go to something at night, there'd be like the main concerts with whoever, the folks that they're publishing are out there. But you get a side menu of all the people that are on the boat that wanted to perform or do different things. And it's not just music, or like in my case, I did a spin tunes panel because 4 or 5 spin tuners were on the boat. I said, all right, we got to do something. We're all here. So I've done 2 of those panel type things and just invite people in. Hey, you want to do it? We'll tape it. It goes up and people get to see what's going on. The first year I actually made an audio DVD of, I think it was like 70 or 80 artists. And I handed them out to all the famous folks. Just say, hey, it's free CD. And they went, oh, okay, kind of cool, except a few people ran from me because I didn't realize they actually were in music and didn't. It's like, no, I'm not supposed to take this. I'm a professional at this. And I went, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I thought you were a lot of like science fiction authors and stuff like that that are on, which is great. So like Pat Rothfuss, John Scalzi, M.K. Jemison. It's full of Hugo winners.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll have major comedians on as well. But they're all brought in because it's like, oh, their friend was on and they had a good time because do you really want to be stuck with fans for a week is the question. But most of these people don't know. They're not from your fandom. So you're just like a normal person. So like David Rees comes on the boat. It's like, who the hell's David Rees? It's like, well, he used to be an artist, But then he had a series that talked about really simple stuff that was on a video show. They're all situationally famous, I guess. So okay. John Hodgman is on, and he's doing some stuff, but he's doing his judge thing or whatever. Or the last one was, what's the name? My brother and me. Those folks were all on. Basically, the whole family took over the boat last year, wow. Which is great. And they all of them did podcasts. It was very cool. McElroy's. Yes, the McElroy's. My girlfriend will kill me because I almost didn't say their name, but I love them. They're very nice, but they literally, you can't spit without tripping over a McElroy on the boat.
Okay. One of the things that kind of got in the way of me, booking tickets is that it looked like it was really, really heavy on video games and comic books. And I'm not big on either of those, but from your description, I mean, you haven't mentioned anything about any of that stuff. So I guess there's plenty of stuff for everybody then, maybe.
As far as video games, last two times they actually brought on somebody who does vintage video games.
Oh.
So like they had like 20 different platforms with like 400 different games looking out over the sea. So you could, if you wanted to, there was 50 stations that you could sit down, just take a thing out of the library and play something from your childhood. It was great.
So like instead of looking out over the sea, it could be just like you're at home in front of your computer.
Well, no,
playing Dig Dug.
The scary thing was I could sit with my feet up on the side of the boat, look out at the sea while I'm looking at the screen right there.
Oh, wow.
It's in the same room. It's like they also brought on like a dozen old full-size video cabinets, which was kind of cool because last year I'm playing Joust. And then Will Wheaton comes up next to me, and he's playing Dig Dug, and he's fascinated with trying to keep the high score on Dig Dug. So it's kind of cool. So we just like, all right, I'm just looking. Yeah, you're doing okay. And then I'm going, damn it, the pterodactyl got me again. But people are very cool. There's not, as long as you don't fanboy on the stuff, everybody's all in the same boat. And the nerd stuff is whatever you nerd about. There was a guy who was into lock picking, and he literally brought 20 of the transparent locks, and he held four or five shadow things on how to pick a lock. And it was one of the most popular thing. People are knitting constantly. They have a craft room where they're building and showing different stuff. One of the science fiction authors are also a puppeteer and showed how they would do stuff with Sesame Street. A group of the people, I guess Portal, had a musical that was out on the West Coast at one time. They got the information on how to do it, and like 20 people from all around the world rehearsed so they could do a performance there. And when they were there at the performance, they didn't realize that the voice of GLaDOS was watching in the audience.
Oh my gosh.
And she got up and said, "You guys were awesome." And they didn't realize she was there the whole time. That's the type of synergy that goes on this boat all the time.
Wow.
The other cool thing is one of my friends, Lar, is an artist. And he would always be on like by the pool area, and he'd just take out his artwork stuff and either do characters or whatever you're doing, but he has like an iPad. So he'd be drawing with a stylus during all the concerts and things. So everything that's happening on the concert, half of it is, performance, and half of it is they're just goofing on what's going on. So if something happens, like somebody does something with Baby Shark or something or other, and it's a really bad joke and everybody starts picking on each other, he's sitting down in the audience doing a character drawing of Paul from Paul and Storm as a Baby Shark doing something goofy, takes it, puts it up on, here's where the nerd comes out. They have a separate Wi-Fi system called TwitR, which is free that everyone can connect to on a server. So we're all interconnected through our phones without actually being on the internet. It can go up, post, everybody in the audience sees it.
Wow.
That's
and
pretty
it
cool.
Stays up for a few, and everybody communicates. There's so many different pieces to it, and I just am very excited to go again just to catch up with friends and people. So, but like once again, I evangelize, and everybody goes, oh, and it's expensive, but it's cool. And so it's tough. Each year I go, I can't go next year. I don't have the money to do this because you can't do any of the vacations. Pretty much it's like it's that or something else. But damn, it's so cool.
Okay. All right. Well, you sold me on it. So we'll.
You need to go. Well, actually, if you want to get on, they already opened up 2021 and it's half full. 60% full already. And they just announced where they're going. They haven't announced anybody on the damn thing. It just keeps going earlier and earlier that it fills up.
Wow. Yeah,
that's enough of me rambling.
Time to
sign up now, Ryan.
I will do. Okay. All right. Now, should we move on to Spintoons round two, or is there more that we should cover?
Let's move on to Spintoons round two.
Go ahead.
I was going to say back up. Why don't you just give your impressions in round one before you go to two?
That's a good idea. So what did we think about round one, the 27 initial songs that we had? There were some names that I hadn't heard before that came out really, really, really strong.
Yeah.
And
this is the first time I've ever heard any songs by Steve Stearns or by Nick Work.
Yeah, they're both really, really strong contenders, I think, already. So
yeah, some of my favorites from last round and this round.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, Micah's song about the Iliad just really bowled me over. I was really, really impressed by the lyrics in that one in particular.
He is one clever guy.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a little bit intimidating how strong everybody came out of the gate like that. And I think, you know, to move it over into round, or edge it over towards round two, I think that a lot of the entries for round two were comparably safe. I was a little bit more excited about round one and hearing what people were doing there than a bulk of the round two. So I think that'll, you know, when you hear my comments on the round two songs, that'll be a repeating theme that I thought that a lot of these people were generally playing it pretty safe.
Yeah.
I like the round one songs. I looked at a little bit of what was going on. Steve Stearns, I thought, was in previously. He did, it was before you guys started, the election round. He did a really good one about elections around the planet Titan. It was a very nice, upbeat, boppy song. So I really liked his stuff, and I'm glad the last two songs in this round, it's been really good. I liked your song, In the Future, and you actually did a video with it, too. That made me smile. I like the Jerkatorium one. That
you actually
really
are one
good.
Of the few people who probably knew who Criswell is.
That's why I went, wait a minute, they're doing Criswell. That's cool. Timothy Patrick Hinkle, I've never heard him before, but I really liked, I mean, it's like he went all Jethro Tull, and it's like, man, that came out really good.
Yeah,
I liked
did.
That one.
He's been in Songfight a bit, and okay. I'm not sure that if he's won any Songfights yet, but he's really strong in those. I'm always glad to see when a Tim Hinkle song is up.
Yeah.
And there was a couple others I like. I know, like Brewhouse Sessions, I'd never heard of them before. I liked the way how their song came out, especially if that was the first one they'd ever done, like put down to tape. I went, yeah. That was pretty impressive what they were doing with that. I like Micah's song. And Brian Gray came out really good. And I like Just Ducky. It just made me like bounce. The one with the horns and the screaming about the big W. Oh, wait a minute. You picked the big W? And I knew what you were talking about. So that's good.
The ones that got kicked out were maybe not largely a surprise, I think. Also, the scoring. I know that people sometimes complain about the scoring. And there were some disparate scores here. It's kind of strange to see, you know, somebody getting kicked out if one or another of the judges put them in the top 10, or see like people in the top 5 that have very, very low scores by one or two judges. But, you know, after Chumpy and I judged a number of times, I think that I get it now. It doesn't bug me anymore.
Yeah.
So I just want to kind of assert that it's not all that unusual. People have their own kind of criteria. People are tickled or offended by other things. And
yeah.
And I get it.
Some judges, I think, work hard to see the value of the song independently from the production and the performance. And I think in some judges' mind, those things are inseparable. So I think that's why the Quantifier song was so polarizing.
Yes. Judges have different criteria. And until you've actually done it, and seeing how much work is involved. And it's like, Bafo Yux didn't do any until, I think we judged 14 or something like that. And all three of us were in. And we could not have had different scores if you tried. Because one of us is in LA, one of us is in Chicago, and one of us is in Boston. So other than just email and going back and forth over the internet, we don't really contact much to each other except through notes. And we were just so far different. So I definitely get, there's not a judge out to get you. Everybody's just got different taste.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's move on into the reviews. Is that sound like a good idea?
Yeah, let's launch in.
Okay.
No, let's talk about something else for a while.
All right. How are you on toast? Do you like sourdough? Or I'm a whole wheat man myself. So.
I like toast in a champagne glass.
Ah, okay. Got it.
Can we move on now?
Yes.
Okay.